let's pound home the pro-life agenda,
yep.
And then don't throw a bunch of other stuff to confuse people out there.
That's right. That's the issue, isn't it, Larry? That's why he won last night. If that message gets the clip I have, if that clip just gets around, he won. Praise the Lord.
15 seconds.
Hey, we're still friends if we disagree. That's okay to disagree. I'm not a cult leader. You're allowed to disagree. Doesn't make me right and you wrong. I just yell louder.
Here we go.
Culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning there, boys and girls. Thanks for joining us here on October, I think it's the 20th, isn't it? Let me check this thing out here, my little trusty camera. It's the 20th. Yep, day after the debate, I stayed up and watched every second. In fact, I wish last night I'd been a tweeter or Twitterer. Jared, I got to learn how to do that, because I'd have lit up that Twitter storm last night, that's for sure. If you didn't watch it, you're in the right place here today. Making a lot of enemies. I don't want to make enemies. I've never seen anything like it in my life, to be perfectly honest with you. The flat out, how do I say this? Vitriol. That's a big word I learned. Vitriol that one Christian has for another because of voting. Never seen anything like it. If we took that energy and we focused it towards, if every Christian who has called me names took their energies and focused it towards abortion, we wouldn't have abortion. They'd rather get mad at me. Fighting amongst ourselves, JR likes to call it, over what religious issues. And I'm going to say this because I said it on a show about, I don't know, a while ago. As soon as the election's over, will the church and all these never Trumpers, will all these people begin at that point to find a godly candidate to run in 2020? Will they begin right then? Will a guy like the Castle and the Constitution Party or Tom Hoefling, will they begin from that moment to get their message to the churches, get on the ballots, do all the things necessary to be an effective candidate for president of the United States? Because it's like a football game. See, this election season is the football game. And the reason Christians aren't winning in the football game is because they didn't go to the weight room the last 4 years. See, do you get my analogy? They haven't prepared to win. They are not prepared to win. We are not prepared to win. And so now that we're into the game, I've seen this happen so many times during a football game. I'm coaching, team's playing, I call timeout, I go out in the huddle. What's going on? You know what's going on, JR? They're arguing in the huddle. And why are they arguing in the huddle? Because they ain't prepared for the opponent. That's exactly why. And the hardest thing for us to do is to admit that we have not done our homework, that we are unprepared, and we are getting our rear end handed to us because the church will go back to sleep for 3 years and pop their head up in 3 more years and want to run the world, sending our kids to government schools. The gospel in the church is watered down. We won't stand against anything controversial, and then we think that when the election season comes around, we're going to find us a great Christian hero who's going to be the David and going to go slay the Goliath for us. See, I want to take you to the story of David and Goliath today. That was a miracle by God, because the entire army of King Saul was sitting there cowering in fear, knowing they were going to get beat. They were praying for Donald Trump to show up. And who shows up? Donald Trump. And did they like David when he came on the scene? What did they say about David? Oh, they made all kinds of fun of Dave. What are you doing out here? You're no big. You just come out here to watch us lose. You just been back here taking care of them sheep. You ain't nothing. His brothers saying that to David. And David said, well, what's wrong with you sissies? What's wrong with you sissies, David said. Why are you letting that dude talk to us like that? And David goes out there through the miracle of God and drops that big dude. And David's the hero. But if the truth were to be known, come on! Saul's army wished somebody else did it. They wish it wasn't David. Damn it, David. But they didn't want to go do it, see? They didn't want to go do it. They weren't prepared to do it. David said, I've been out here laboring back here where nobody's seen me, taking care of my daddy's sheep. Long came a lion, long came a bear. I've been practicing fighting lions and bears for a long, long time. And you big professional Christians sitting around here doing your pontificating and giving us all your lectures and all that kind of stuff, while you've been back there playing tiddlywinks sitting in the pew, I've been practicing and I'm going to go knock that dude down. I'm sick and tired of him and I'm going to go knock that dude down. And they were jealous of him. They were jealous of him. Why? Because he was prepared. He was the least qualified and the most prepared. Isn't that something? Welcome. Let me put a smile on my face here today. Because I want to tell you something. We had the most profound moment in the history of political debates. And I'm going to say in my lifetime, the most profound moment in the history of political debates last night. It occurred. And you turn to fake Fox News. I will turn them on for about 10 minutes afterwards. They are the enemy. Fox News is the enemy. That witch, Megyn Kelly, are you kidding me? That vixen, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I watch those scumbags and they get on there. The most profound 5-minute segment in the history of conservative American politics occurred. And what did they say was the lead story? I can just see them. They're just sitting around there watching their little TVs. They're watching the debate. And they're just waiting for something. What's going to be their lead story? What's going to be our lead story? What are we going to talk about? What do you think? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to say? What are we going to say? And then what does Trump say? Chris Wallace. Donald Trump, with all the controversy going on regarding alleged cheating, and you've questioned the political system, Donald Trump, will you accept the results of the election? Trump says, maybe, we'll see. Oh, no. Lead story. There, I can see Megyn Kelly. Hey, there's our lead. There's our lead. There's our lead. There's our lead. And they come out into the lead story. Trump may not accept election results. As if Al Gore did. It's wicked. It is so stinking wicked what's going on. That's what I said to my wife last night. It's wicked. It's wicked. And what do? Never Trumpers. Never Trumpers. Can I take you somewhere here today? I vented. Maybe somebody out there wants to vent. Anybody want to vent a little bit first before I jump into this? You doing okay, Rich? Look, I'm not looking for yes men. I'm building no cult. I don't care if you agree with me. You don't have to be a groupie. I'm building groupies. And I want to ask you a question. I've had some of you out there. I read my emails. I read my emails. People saying, oh, Coach, what are you doing? Huh? You have a messianic complex, Coach? You trying to get men to follow you, Coach? I read it. Hey, they don't accuse Joel Osteen of having a cult. He's a pastor with a following. You guys want to listen to what I have to say? Oh, be careful. That's a cult. That's a cult. Well, maybe if I just put a sign over my door, church, then I can say it's a following. Except I don't want it to be a following. I want it to be a gathering. I want it to be a gathering of believers. I ain't interested in being some leader. But I tell you this, it looks like it's fallen on my shoulders. What am I supposed to do? Pass it to my wife? Say, here, honey, you take care of it. Pass it to some pastor who's tickling underneath the pulpit because he's afraid he's going to make somebody mad. Is that what it's supposed to do?
Hey, coach.
Yeah. I love most of the people out there. Hang on, Rich, just a second. They ain't running me off and they ain't shutting me up. And I don't care who, I don't care. I will continue to speak the truth. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, people have varied opinions. There's no doubt. And it's divided. I'm pro-life, not because Dave Dobemeyer or any of these guys on this queue. God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. I am pro-life. I don't care what anybody says, and nor does Donald Trump. He stood before the world uncompromisingly and said, I'm pro-life. And that's good enough to me. And God won't judge me for voting for him.
Rich.
I'm choosing life.
He groped women. Don't you know he groped women? Huh? Don't you know he disrespects women? Come on, Rich. Get with it here. So I'm in Isaiah 45. I hope you go there real quick. Because the comparison has been made to Donald Trump and King Cyrus. I've never made that comparison, by the way. Hey, Jared, I got a couple things up there. Before you go to that, Jared, I want to go to where it says King Cyrus. So God can use anybody. Hear me? God can use anybody. I want to show you something. Sit down, never Trumpers. Sit down. Flash that up there, Jared. You guys know who King Cyrus was? It's in Isaiah 45. We're going to read it here in a second. And I want you to notice specifically what it says here. Can you pop that up there for me, Jared?
Yep, it's up.
There you go, buddy. Who was King Cyrus in the Bible? Okay, here you go. King Cyrus is a king mentioned more than 30 times in the Bible and is identified as Cyrus the Great, also Cyrus the Second or Cyrus the Elder, who reigned over Persia from 539 to 530. This pagan king is important in Jewish history because it was under his rule that Jews were first allowed to return to Israel after 70 years of captivity. My. Isaiah 45, 1. Pull that up there, Jared. Isaiah 45. I want you to see something. Hey, now make sure you got this, okay? Cyrus wasn't just a sinner. He was worse than a sinner. Hey, Dylan, he was worse than a sinner. What did they call him? What did they just call him? What kind of king?
A pagan.
Pagan king. He was a pagan king. I'm going to say it again really slow. He was a pagan king. Okay? Now watch. Isaiah 45:1. Got it up there for me, Jared? I've seen other people make a comparison between King Cyrus and Trump. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you something, though, that's even more profound. Here we go. Let me click it. Thus say the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Whoa! Wait a minute. Help me out. The Lord anointed Cyrus. Am I reading that wrong? Am I reading that wrong? Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Yes or no?
You may be, coach, because there's no punctuation in the original. This could very easily. Now, this is Isaiah, the anointed. Thus saith the Lord to Isaiah. And then he says, to Cyrus, give this message. It could be that way. There's okay. There's no definitive. It has to be one or the other.
So in other words, he's saying to Cyrus, to Isaiah, tell Cyrus. right? And what's he telling Cyrus? Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leafed gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And the Lord says to Cyrus, I, the Lord, will go before Cyrus, and I will make the crooked places straight. The Lord says, I will go before Cyrus, the pagan king, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give to Cyrus the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called you Cyrus by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel's mine elect's sake, I have even called you Cyrus by name, and I have surnamed thee that thou hast, you haven't even known who I am. And I'm telling you, Cyrus, I'm the Lord, and there's no other else. There's no God besides me. He says, let me introduce myself to you, Cyrus. I girded thee that thou hast not known me. Oh my goodness. Do you get this? He found a man that he knew had what it took to get his job done. A pagan king. He said, you don't even know me. Let me introduce you a minute, Cyrus. I'm the Lord, and there's nobody else, or no other God like me. I girded you through, though you haven't even known me, that you may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there's none else. I form the light, and I create the darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I do all these things, Cyrus. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created. I've done. This is who I am, Cyrus. This is who I am. And, bud, I've chosen you. Now, did I misinterpret that? A God Almighty chooses a pagan king who doesn't even know who he is, and he anoints him to do the work of the Lord, to do what? To protect his people. Oh, you missed that. He appointed a pagan king to protect God's people. Does anybody read that differently than me? So here's what's going on, see? God said, I'm going to use you. I'm the Lord. My ways are not your ways, boys. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And there's a way that seems right to you, fellas, but the end result is death and destruction. So I'm going to show you something here. I'm going to do it my way, and you may not like it, but this is how I'm going to do it. And you can sit out there, and you can be holier than thou, and you can say that you're not going to vote and that you're too right. You can say that all you want to. Listen, boys, Jesus, God Almighty says, ain't nobody tells me how to do it. And the sad truth is, we got a bunch of little Christians running around thinking they know better than God. They think they're more righteous than God. Now, I am not saying God has anointed Donald Trump. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you this. He did it in the past. He appointed a pagan in the past. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You can read on down through there. He goes ahead and he's going to tell Cyrus everything he's going to do through his hands. Pagan king. And what did that pagan king do? Saved Israel. Saved the Jews. Now, we better ask ourselves this. Who are the Jews? Who's God's Israel? Who is God's Israel? And we know that in the judgment of the Lord, we know it's sure, and we know it's coming, and we know we deserve it. But what if the Lord has sent a reprieve for the sake of his people? Just saying. What's that number, Larry? 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180. And listen, I also want you to know this. I ain't afraid of the homos. I ain't afraid of the, I'm not afraid of the never Trumpers. I'm not afraid. And so when I tell you guys that I am under attack, I'm just telling you so that you understand when you step out and you speak out, they're coming after you. I ain't afraid of them. I ain't backing down. I'm not changing. I'm not going to go away. I just want you to understand this, every one of you, to count the cost and understand that taking a stand for what you believe will cost you friends. And you know what's going to be the amazing things? You're going to find out that some of those people who thought you were friends, they were benefactors. They just wanted to be around you for the benefits that they thought you brought to them. That's Luke 22, by the way. Luke 22. A lot of people being exposed. You know, pride cometh before a fall, Larry. Sarge, pride cometh before a fall. And I'm going to play you a couple clips here last night, from last night. And if you at all put abortion as your number one issue, you have no choice but to vote for Donald Trump. I'm going to play you a clip here, but before I play you this clip, I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you. Since I've been involved with politics, especially since the 1990s on, I've never in my life ever heard a presidential candidate call abortion ripping a baby out of the womb. I have never heard that ever. And Donald Trump said that twice last night. And they asked Donald Trump, Chris Wallace trying to set him up, what kind of judges would you appoint? He could have answered like George Bush did, conservatives, originalists, those who are going to protect the law, not write the law. They could have said that. That's what Bush said, and Romney and all those guys could have said that. Chris Wallace says, so Mr. Trump, what kind of judges will you appoint? Anybody know what he said? Pro-life ones. Pro-life ones. Not a president in my lifetime has said that. They've all said, oh, there's no litmus test. I don't know. I'm no litmus test. No. And then the Wicked Witch of the West gets on and she talks about partial birth abortion. She's going to kill everything that wiggles. She's going to kill everything that wiggles. If she's elected president, there'll never be an end to abortion. She'll stack that court. There'll never be an end to abortion. And Chris Wallace comes back and says, well, Mr. Trump, do you want to overturn Roe versus Wade? Do you want to overturn Roe versus Wade? What'd Trump say? Well, that's the effect of appointing pro-life judges. How does a pro-lifer not support him? I know why. He's lying. But of course, Hillary isn't, right? She's telling the truth. Huh? She is telling the truth. She's going to kill everything that wiggles. Anybody, before I jump over here, I got some great clip. Because some of you didn't see it last night. Some of you didn't have the ability to be able to stay up late like I did and not be able to sleep because I was so daggone gyrated. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Jared, let's play this one. Oh, my goodness, I got so much stuff. I don't even know where to start. Hey, Jared, go to that Trump and Hillary 5 minutes on abortion.
Well, let's.
There we go.
Yep.
Pick up on another issue which divides you and the justices that whoever ends up winning this election appoints could have a dramatic effect there, and that's the issue of abortion.
Right.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life, but I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you
if
like
to... If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be... That's will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, I strongly support Roe v. Wade, which guarantees a constitutional right to a woman to make the most intimate, most difficult, in many cases, decisions about her health care that one can imagine.
Touching emotions, that's all they do.
And in this case, it's not only about Roe v. Wade. It is about what's happening right now in America. So many states are putting very stringent regulations on women that block them from exercising that choice, to the extent that they are defunding Planned Parenthood, which, of course, provides all kinds of cancer screenings and other benefits for women in our country. Donald has said he's in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood. He even supported shutting the government down to defund Planned Parenthood.
She admits
it. I will defend Planned Parenthood. I will defend Roe v. Wade, and I will defend women's rights to make their own health care decisions. And we have come too far to have that turn back now. And indeed, he said women should be punished, that there should be some form of punishment for women who obtain abortions. And I could just not be more opposed to that kind of thinking.
I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but I want to ask you, Secretary Clinton, I want to explore how far you believe the right to abortion goes. You have been quoted as saying that the fetus has no constitutional rights. You also voted against a ban on late-term partial birth abortions. Why?
Because Roe v. Wade very clearly sets out that
it's not even law.
There can be regulations on abortion so long as the life and the health of the mother are taken
liar,
into
liar,
account.
Liar, liar, pantsuit on fire.
And when I voted as a senator, I did not think that that was the case. The kinds of cases that fall at the
emotions.
End of pregnancy
here comes
are
emotions.
Often the most heartbreaking, painful decisions for families to make.
Killing a baby ought to be painful.
With women who, toward the end of their pregnancy, get the worst news one could get, that their health is in jeopardy if they continue to carry to term.
Liar.
Or that something terrible has happened or just been discovered about the pregnancy. I do not think the United States government should be stepping in and making those most personal of decisions. So you can regulate if you are doing so with the life and the health of the mother taken into account.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth abortion.
Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate. You should meet with some of the women that I've met with,
emotions.
Women I've known over
emotions.
The course of my life. This is one of the worst possible choices that any woman and her family has to make. And I do not believe the government should be making it. You know, I've had the great honor of traveling across the world on behalf of our country. I've been to countries where governments either forced women to have abortions like they used to do in China or forced women to bear children like they used to do in Romania. And I can tell you the government has no business in the decisions that women make with their families, in accordance with their faith, with medical advice, and I will stand up for that right.
All right. But just briefly, I want to move on
and
to another
honestly,
segment.
Nobody has business doing what I just said, doing that as late as 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 days prior to birth. Nobody has that.
All right.
All right. Hey, Dylan, if you're pro-life, who are you voting for? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Keep in mind, Trump is mean to women. He's groped them. Factor that in now. Now, if you're pro-life, who are you voting for, Dylan?
Well, you know, Coach, I'm just going to vote my conscience.
Yep, that's where they are. That's where they are. Good answer. Hey, Roger, I'm going to smack him next time I see him.
I also don't believe a word Trump says. I don't think he's saved the bullet.
Yeah, no, he would never. He would. No, he's all liar. He doesn't believe anything he says. But you know, Hillary, she's as honest as the day is long. She's so honest, she will kill babies. She's honest, she will. What do you think, JR?
Excuse me. I'm not going to talk after what Dylan said.
Yeah. Well, let's see if Michael will. Michael's on the phone line there, Larry. Let's see if we can get old Michael. He must have got cut out today out there in Tacoma, Washington. What do you say, Michael?
I say Trump's got more guts than anybody. I've not seen anybody on TV, and even people that are pro-life don't talk about the baby being all torn up like that in public. So I think he had plenty of guts, and if you watched him while he was listening to Hillary, he looked like a president that was weighing everything and what was going on. But the most important thing I wanted to say, Trump was also alluding to something that's in the Constitution, and that is states' rights. Do you realize that all of the states, I think there were 32 of them, that said no to gay marriage? 32 states. And then all of a sudden, the liberal federal judges said they can't have it that way. You've got to have it our way, which is a sign of love. And that's where we're all going wrong. We don't look to our Constitution. Even Christians aren't aware of what the Constitution has. And we have the power to stop the federal government through states' rights. And that's what Trump was alluding to, and that's something that we can do to stop this federal overreach in every area, especially with the federal courts. That's my Amen. Word.
Amen, Michael. Amen, Michael. Listen, I want to open up the phone lines literally and open up the queue down here. Please, I want somebody to tell me still why you can't vote for Trump. Please, somebody. What's that number? 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180. And JR, here's what I think it is. I think it's pride. Now I think it's pride. That they've taken such a strong position against him that even what we just heard, these people claim to care about the unborn. They're pro-life. And I can't cast my vote for Donald Trump. Okay? Why?
You know why, Coach?
Tell me.
It's because Trump is a mirror for all the weak men in the church. And they look at it and they see what they are supposed to be in regards to the masculinity. You know, I obviously there's differences between what a masculine Christian would do and what Trump would do, but he's a mirror to them, and they've been preaching love and you know, feminine manliness in the church for so long that they have to reject him.
Can I tell you another reason, Dylan? You ready, guys? A lot of the men killed their babies. Yeah. Or at least gave their wife permission to do it. They've been emasculated. They are emasculated by their own sin. See, that's what sin does. It says in Hebrews, let's go there. Hebrews 12, Jared, pull that up there real quick. Thank you, Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit just dropped that bomb in me. Just drop that right down in me. You know why men won't, you want to know why men won't be men? All right, here it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, men are weighted down by personal sin. They allowed their wife or their girlfriend to kill their baby, and they've never reconciled that in their own heart. They never have. They never have. And the Hebrew writer tells us here that it's a weight. It weighs them down. And JR and Rich and Larry, that's why I'm constantly saying abortion's a man's issue. It's a man's issue. There is nothing less manly. Oh, Lord, well, I'll say it. Okay, Lord. There's nothing less manly than allowing your child to be killed. Hey, Rich, can you think of anything less manly than that? Permitting your baby to be killed? Help me here.
I cannot, but there's something close to it. Donald Trump stood before the world and said what needed to be said, and 98% of the pastors don't have the guts to stand in their pulpit and say it to their congregation.
That's right. Nor will they Sunday stand in there and say, folks, listen, I was wrong. I'm with Trump. He's bad. A lot of stuff I don't like about him, but he gave us his word that he was going to protect the unborn babies. Everything else doesn't matter to me. I'm with Donald Trump. And can I give you a history lesson? Oh, Lord, slow me down. Donald Trump will not be king. Donald Trump will not make laws. Presidents don't make laws. That phony rhino Congress who've told us for 44 years that they are pro-life, all that whiny, pro-sissified, pro-life Congress has to do is pass a law banning abortion, send it to the president, and what did Trump say he would do? He'd sign it, see? He said he would sign it. So those of you out there say you don't trust Trump. Trump ain't the problem. The problem's Pat Tiberi and Bill Johnson. Our elected officials, our cowardly elected officials, they're the problem. You'd think the Republicans would be jumping up and down, stomping their feet, saying, yes, my goodness, when Trump gets elected, I am going to put on his desk a bill within 30 days and we're going to end abortion within 30 days. Are you hearing that from Republicans? Of course not. Why? Because it is a political issue. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Life, death, both ends against the middle. It is the ultimate issue they don't want to lose. They don't want to lose. Trump says, come on, boys. Let's end abortion. Come on, boys. Are they lining up behind him? No. And so we're mad at Trump, right? We're mad at Trump. Trump can't end abortion. He can't do that. Presidents don't make law, folks. Presidents preside. They oversee the government. There are, what do they call it? Checks and balances. So that we cannot have a dictator. And I hate to keep circling back to it, but they will not hold Obama accountable because he's bought them all off. Trump needs to come out with a statement today saying this. Within 30 days, I challenge the Republican Party to have on my desk a pro-life bill that will end abortion.
Amen. Take
it and lay it in their lap. Lay it in their lap. Find out who the real liars are. Okay, somebody want to get in here?
You got Jennifer.
Jennifer, I'm sorry. Let Jennifer jump in here. Hey, Jennifer, don't jump, but you're in the air. How you doing, Jen? Larry, you're muted, I think. We can't hear you. Because we're not hearing. Okay, Jennifer, start again. Now we can hear you. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on air. You know, the natural inclination, and I've had conversations with people. I've been to a couple rallies, and my natural inclination is pro-life. I never had to think twice about that. And I think there's people that are just so jarred by how, if you're a girl growing up, and you have a feminist type, you know, like taking advantage of women in a weak moment, they don't make it sound like they're all in for you. And then these girls end up with no one. I work in women's shelters. I work all around this. And I've met with girls that were molested and had their baby. I've met with girls that were raped at rape clinics and had their baby. The problem It's not just where you end up at the abortion clinic. It starts somewhere in foster care, in programs that are all controlled by socialism, welfare. You know, you see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
The liberal, I mean, the cultures are in all these aspects of social government programs where they control that issue and control the abortion issue. So girls are trapped in these situations. They make mistakes. They do stupid things to get it. And then they have the guilt trip and then all this other stuff. And then they're just at the point that when they get to the abortion clinic, thank God there might be somebody that might be able to explain to them that you don't have to go down this route. And I've been there too many times, Coach, where I've talked to girls. I was just dealing with a girl who just had a baby. She was 11 years old. She was a child pornography victim. You know, and she's been through this. I've been through a lot of this. I can't have children, but it just got a lot of it that I was there at moments like this. And I've been through this before when I was 19 in college, talking to my roommate. I have an abortion. And it's just been a way of life for me. I'm 45 now, but great, man. Yesterday was such a big day, and I still want to pull back because I was like, wow, we've been so jarred before by things that have happened in the past with political debates, but that was a real moment. And last night after the debate, the lightning storm that was here in Pittsburgh, it was so powerful, and every time I was praying about how awesome this was, the lightning just lit up the sky. So it was pretty profound what happened, but those, I hope you guys take this in consideration. They control both sides of this issue from the start point to the end point, you know? So this is what girls are going through.
Jennifer, that's what I'm sorry.
Encouragement. They need people to get actively involved and show up at those women's shelters or donate so that these girls don't have to be forced to make those choices, you know?
So in other words, Jennifer, in other words, you would agree with me that women are screwed over, pardon the phrase, because men won't be men.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's no reason these girls should be in women's shelters because they have no help and a man is abusing them. And I have a personal family member that was raped, and we saved my niece, you know, before they were ready to take my sister down to the abortion clinic. I'm jumping in all the time, and believe me, I was called the black sheep for a while, but I think now people are looking at me like saying, thank God you jumped in, you know, because we have this beautiful 2-year-old niece who is the life of the party, you know.
I don't mean to cut you off, Jennifer. Don't mean to cut you off at all. Women are in a mess because men aren't men. Women are in a mess because men aren't men.
That's right.
Women Women are in a mess because men aren't men. It's the same problem, see? It's the same problem. And so women are running around trying to find men, and what they find is these little guys that just want to do some of the honey dipping of their own, if you know what I'm talking about. That's what they find, see? That's what the culture's teaching them. That's what your school's teaching them. That's what the absence of God in schools is teaching them. That's what they're learning. Women are in a mess because men won't be men. But women are in a mess. Oh, Lord, I'll be like a Trump hater if I say that.
Go with it.
Hey, Rich, I think those women know what makes them pregnant, don't you? I think they know. So you can't blame men. It would be better if men stepped up. But women flaunt it, baby. They're flaunting it. Now, Jennifer, don't misread what I'm saying. Not all girls do. And not all get taken advantage of. But the culture has been set up so that women are independent and free to make their own choices. And therefore, when a man comes on them, a man doesn't respect a woman anymore because she can choose life or death. She's got the power to choose life or death. So therefore, she can take care of herself and figure out whether she's going to spread those legs for me or not. That's where it's gotten us. That's where all this feminism's gotten us. So I understand, Jennifer, and God bless you. I agree with you. Problems irresponsible men. Abortion is a man's issue. It's not a woman's. Somebody jump in here. Rescue me. I'm heading down that wrong path. No, I'm not. It's all good. Anybody? 843-957-8180. George, get in there. 843-957-8180. If you want to opine, jump in here, George. From George, hey, Coach. Tulsa.
Hey, you're asking why I can't vote for Trump, right?
Yes.
I don't think I can. He doesn't say things nice enough. If he would put things more palatable and be a nicer guy, it'd be easier to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. I agree, George. And see, the reason you say that is because you become pussified too. Hey, George, just laughing. It's all a joke here, right? It's all a joke.
Absolutely.
But see, it's mind control. Guys, it's mind control.
Yeah.
See, they understand. I said this yesterday. The only way Donald Trump will not be elected president of the United States is if Christians don't vote for him. That's the only way he will not be elected president of the United States. So Hillary's people know that. So who are they after? Those gullible, emotional women. Every response Hillary gave, I'm going to play another one here. Every response Hillary gave last night was emotional. Oh, well, yeah, I go everywhere and I talk to women and this terrible thing's happened to women. And women are sitting back, saying, oh, yes, oh, yeah, I know a woman like that too. Oh, I know. Oh, Trump is so harsh. They are doing mind control to shut down the vote of Christian women. Real quickly, I want to throw this up here. Jared, go to pull the one up here. This is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. Yes.
That's why you won't see Trump's abortion comments on the mainstream media, because they don't want to unify the Christian base.
That's right.
That's why they're talking about the rigged election this morning, and they're not talking about those comments.
That's right, and neither will Fox News. Don't miss it. Neither will Fox News. Fox News ought to be trumpeting loud and clear the difference in abortion between the two candidates. I haven't turned Fox News on this morning. Are they doing that? Does anybody know if they're doing that? You don't have to. Now I'm going to show you one of the greatest ploys of emotion that I've ever seen. Went right over most people. Heard nobody say it about. You ready for this? Jared, play the one up where it says Trump and Hillary, 5 minutes. This is unbelievably ridiculous. This question is about the Second Amendment, okay? Huh? Second Amendment. And I want you to listen. Hillary, this demon, Hillary makes the Second Amendment about, are you ready? Toddlers getting shot. That's why she's wants gun control. She's tired of little babies shooting them. I'm not making this up. Go ahead and play it, Jared. Nope, wrong one. Is that the one? The other one you had was right, Jared.
We just watched that one.
Really? Blame the Russians. What?
Guns.
I can't believe. Yeah, do I have guns
anymore? I want to focus on two issues that, in fact, by the justices that you name, could end up changing the existing law of the land. First is one that you mentioned, Mr. Trump, and that is guns. Secretary Clinton,
listen to
you
this.
Said last year, and let me quote, the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment. And now, in fact, in the 2008 Heller case, the court ruled that there is a constitutional right to bear arms, but a right that is reasonably limited. Those were the words of the
She's
judge.
She's going after Angela the women. Scalia, she doesn't care decision. About the NASCAR crowd. She's going after women.
Well, first of all, I support the Second Amendment.
Women.
I lived in Arkansas for 18 wonderful years. Yes. I represented upstate New York. I understand and respect
the
tradition of gun ownership. It goes back to the founding of our country. But I also believe that there can be and must be reasonable regulation.
Yeah.
Because I support the Second Amendment doesn't mean that I want people who shouldn't have guns to be able to threaten you, kill you or members of your family.
Here's the pivot.
And so when I think about what we need to do, we have 33,000 people a year who die from guns. I think we need comprehensive background checks, need to close the online loophole, close the gun show loophole. There's other matters that I think are sensible, that are the kind of reforms that would make a difference,
that are not in
any way conflicting with the Second Amendment.
Bring
you mentioned the Heller decision, and what I was saying that you referenced, Chris, was that I disagreed with the way the court applied the Second Amendment in
Bring
that
the
case.
Children in, Hillary. Come
because
on.
Because what the District of Columbia was trying to do was to protect toddlers from guns. And so they wanted people with guns to safely store them. And the court didn't accept that reasonable regulation, but they've accepted many others. So I see no conflict between saving people.
She's going to go to the toddlers again. Now, does anybody in their right mind think that's what gun control is all about? But who is she focusing the argument to? Women. Oh, yeah, I don't want my toddler shot. Oh, no. We're going to have toddler shot. Larry, do we have Larry one to jump in here?
Well, Coach, open up, women open up the window and there. Christian men. Who is she targeting? Women and Christian men.
Women and sissy Christian men. Larry, yeah,
Larry from Kansas is on the line.
You're on the air, Larry.
Good morning, Coach. This is Larry. And I just wanted to say that I was at the Rose Hill Church last week in Tulsa.
Yes, sir.
And I thought the Isaiah 45, I know that's a little off the subject right now, but at the start of your program, you mentioned Isaiah 45.
Yes, sir.
And last Sunday morning, I was looking through one of the workbooks I have about America again, and that verse I seen in the book was not there. And so I've been studying it. So I agree with what you said at the start of the program. It was a king that didn't know the Lord, and all of the things that happened were, I'm still trying to figure it out, but I'm shocked that you picked up that verse, Isaiah 45.
Larry, there's no doubt in Isaiah 45 that the Lord anointed a pagan king. You would agree with that, wouldn't you, Larry? No doubt about it.
Yes.
He anointed a pagan king to do his will. And we don't want to even ask ourselves today, could the Lord be anointing a pagan king? Oh, by the way, Trump walked an aisle and said a prayer. He's a born-again man, according to every evangelical church I've ever been in. If you call out the name of the Lord, you're saved in every evangelical church I've ever been in. Billy Graham said he said the sinner's prayer. There are others that said he said the sinner's prayer. No, he didn't. No, he's a liar. He's a con artist. No. We are so screwed up. Hey, Larry, thanks, man. Thanks for being out there and listening and calling in. We're winding down here, guys. Got about 10 minutes left. You want to get back in here? We got time for another caller. Somebody in the queue is bubbling. Anybody like to say anything?
Hey, Coach, they do. Yep. They do have, you know, there are 33,000 toddlers killed each year. It's called abortion.
Yes, sir. It is. She ain't worried about those toddlers.
No.
But I want you all to see, though. You see the emotional shift she made? You see how she made it about emotions? I'm for protecting people, but you know what? The law was really put into place to save these toddlers. I've never heard that in my life, that the purpose of gun control is to protect toddlers. I never heard that. Never, ever, ever heard that. And so she wants to take away a constitutional right to carry a gun, a God-given inalienable right to carry a gun, and put in a non-constitutional right to kill a baby. I'm going to say it again. You didn't get it. She wants to make something legal that is clearly unconstitutional, gun control, and wants to make legal something that is not in the Constitution at all, abortion. And this morning, what's Fox News talking about? Dylan says they're talking about, like I told you, he's not going to accept the election. Now, here's where Fox News is stupid. Most of the Trump supporters said, amen, dude. Amen, dude. Amen, dude. I don't accept it either, dude. See, Trump is anti-establishment, isn't he? You don't like it. Georgie, do you want to say something?
Yeah, hey, just a quick Fox News. I've had it on all show. Coach, it's sickening. They've talked about everything except the abortion issue. They're saying who would be a better candidate for ISIS, on and on. Absolutely disgusting.
And George, that was the seminal moment in that entire debate last night. It was the seminal moment, in my humble opinion, or not so humble opinion, it was the seminal moment in American political history in regards to abortion. Last night, that was the seminal moment. And conservative Fox News won't even talk about it.
And Fox News is signing their death warrant as the leader in cable news if they don't pick it up.
Larry, I couldn't agree more. Sarge, looks like you're leaning in to say something, are you? No? How much time we got here? I got a lot of more stuff. Oh, I got 7 minutes. I want to play one more thing. Jared, go to, go to where it says my Facebook page, Jared. Facebook, you'll see that one. Pull my Facebook page up because I got a couple things on my Facebook page. I did a commentary today. I lied to the pollsters. You got to read it. It's a tongue in cheek. It's really good. I did. I lied. I've been polled 3 times this election series. I lied to them every time. Lied to them every time. You can trust the polls, right? Trust the polls. You got to read that one. Going down one more, Jared. Next, one more, because we played this. This is only a minute. I want you, folks, this is a clip of what Donald Trump just said, but the words are there for you to read so you can let it get inside you what this man just said. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Pro-life, but I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth
abortion.
Well,
I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the 9th month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the 9th month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Guys, listen, here's the task before us. We have got to become evangelists for what we just heard. You have got to share that and share that and share that and share that and call to account these phony never Trumpers. Phony, pietistic never Trumpers that we spoke about yesterday. We got to call them to account. We got to make them put up or shut up. We got to make them show us why a vote for Castle or Hoefling, a vote for any of those guys is better than a vote for him. We have got to call them on the carpet. The only way Hillary Clinton gets elected is if pietistic 11 of the Pharisee Christians refuse to vote for him. Anybody disagree with that?
Hey, Coach, I think that the fact that Fox News is totally ignoring that most important point of the debates, and that word is not going to get out over any source of regular media. It is going to take a gargantuan effort of the alternative media to make it go viral. And that means you got to put some work and effort into it. Liking and sharing and posting one time is not going to make it happen.
Hey, fellas, the Republican Party does not want to end abortion. I don't know how plain we can make it. They do not want to end abortion. Wouldn't you think this morning already there would have been some congressman, some senator who would run to some camera somewhere and say, yes, Donald Trump, and you will have a bill on your desk within a month. Where are they? Where are they? The Republican Party official position is pro-life, but they don't want to end abortion. Help me bring this thing home. We got a couple minutes here, just a couple minutes left.
So, Coach, are you maybe suggesting that we ought to call our representatives and ask them if we're going to present a bill like that?
Well, that'd be a great question, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that today.
That would be a great exercise. We ought to also be calling our, standing up in our churches on Sunday and asking our pastors what they think about it. And now, Pastor, that you heard that, where do you stand, Pastor? Hey, Pastor, which is more important, ending abortion or making sure some lady doesn't get groped? Which is more important, Pastor? By the way, groped 11 years ago. Which one, Pat? Hey, Pastor, what do you think about rumors, gossip? Pastor, would you say that saying this stuff about Donald Trump, would you consider that gossip, Pastor? Should we be spreading gossip like that, Pastor? When we heard the man himself say he wants to end abortion, Pastor, you going to let people in this church continue to say that he's pro-abortion? We got to take the gloves off. We got to take the gloves off. I probably couldn't lose any more friends, but I've gained a whole bunch. So it's a fair trade. It's all good. But I've given, as you guys know, I've given a lot of my life to rescuing the unborn children. I've never heard anything like that ever, ever. Hey, Jared, let's end with my video. I know we're right near the end of it. We may go a minute over. Hey guys, help this video go viral. Please help this video go viral. I made this at my kitchen table last night after the debate. Help this go viral. Friends, this is Coach Dave sitting here right after the debate. And I just got to tell you something. I saw the most stunning thing I think I've ever seen in a presidential debate. Since I've been in the pro-life movement, going clear back to, golly, I could go a long way, back to Ronald Reagan anyway, let's think about that. I don't think I've ever seen a presidential candidate do what I saw Donald Trump do tonight. Number one, Donald Trump said partial birth abortion is ripping a baby apart. He said it twice, ripping a baby apart. And then I heard him take the most pro-life position of any presidential candidate in my life. He said that he would appoint pro-life judges. He said it twice. He would appoint pro-life judges. You think of Mitt Romney and McCain and Bush, and you go back to all of them, what did they all say? I'm not going to have any litmus test on that. No, I'm not going to have any litmus test. And Trump said, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges because it's ripping a baby apart. I heard it with my own words, and so did you. And you know the unbelievable thing is? It's still not good enough for people. They still don't want to believe him. It's like this. A lot of churches get, on Sunday mornings, big mega churches have people walk an aisle and say a prayer. And they tell everybody, oh, 50 people came to Jesus tonight. 50 lives have been changed. There's rejoicing in heaven. And then we get James Dobson and some of these religious leaders that say Donald Trump had a born-again experience and accepted Christ. We say, oh, no way. No, he didn't do it. Donald Trump didn't do it. Folks, we are so messed up. Hillary Clinton said tonight she is pro-partial birth abortion. She is pro-death without exceptions. Donald Trump